the church and my role. Understanding the church and my role. So there was a preacher that was talking, and he said that after a conference on the East Coast, a doctor came to him and said, "You may be interested to know that there's a part of your body that is essential to you as a preacher." He said, "You probably don't even think about it when you preach, but you'd probably be lost without it." And the preacher obviously said, "Well, it's probably my tongue, all right?" And he said, "Well, or my brain." And then finally, he looked at the doctor because the doctor said, "No, no, no." He says, "What is it?" And he said, "It's your big toe." He said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." He says, "I don't use my big toe when I preach." He said, "Oh, yes, you do." He said, "Your big toe can sense when your body begins to lean too far. And if you don't have your big toe, you'll lose balance. Without your big toe, you'd fall on your face every time you tried to stand up and speak." He said, "Now," the preacher was saying later, he said, "I guard my big toe with my life." All right. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 20. Well, look at verse 12, first of all. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Look at verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." So we're talking about our role in the church. Our role in the church. You know, one of the most significant problems we face in the church today is meaningless membership. That's what I call it. Meaningless membership. According to a Barna research, this was many years ago, 1 in 7 people will look for a new church this year, and 1 in 6 attends 2 or more churches. So think about this. 1 out of every 6 people, and this is about 10 years ago when they did this research, 1 in 6 basically have 2 churches and they just rotate through the year. They don't attend 1, they attend 2. Right? Well, why in the world would you do that? Some call this church hoppers or bunny believers. All right, these members join the church after church based on selfishness or self-centeredness rather than God's call to self-surrender and self-sacrifice. All right, so we want to come to the place that say my membership is meaningful. So how is it meaningful? Well, we're going to talk about that. So we're going to try to understand my role and the church. So understanding the church and my role. So what do we mean? All right, let me see. Oh, there we go. So questions, first of all, to consider. What are some questions? So here's some questions. So who owns the church? All right, Christ is. All right, if you want a passage to go along with this, it's in Ephesians. It says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." All right, so it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." All right, so Christ is the head of the church. So as we start out with understanding the church and my role, so who owns it? Well, Christ is the head of the church. So wait a minute, so who should serve in the church? So does the Bible kind of say that, oh, well, it's these people? Actually, if you look biblically, everybody serves in the church. In fact, we have an example of Christ our head. Christ our head, what did he do for his disciples right at the end in John chapter 13? Basically, one of his last meetings with the disciples with the guys that were basically going to go out and launch his church. What did he do? He washed their feet. Now, I'm glad. I don't believe, actually, there are some people that believe that was an ordinance set forth, like the foot washing. I am so glad growing up that our church did not do foot washing. Otherwise, I might be like, well, we got to, when you come in, we're going to wash your feet. I'm like, nah, you're not doing that. All right, not washing my feet. So, but why was he washing their feet? He was showing them, and then remember what Jesus said? Hey, what I do, if I be your master, and I did this, what should you do? So this is amazing to me. Everybody comes into a church, and like I'm a member, and basically I get to this level that, and I have to admit, I like having minions under me. I'm like, go, get me my water, wash my shoes, clean them. Clean them again. All right? So, yeah, I like having minions. All of us like having minions. But in a church, the Bible says it's kind of different. Those who would be the greatest are what? The servant. It's kind of different than what we kind of think. You know, I want to get to the place in the church that I've got minions and I don't do anything anymore. Well, then that's not a good member. Because understanding my role, as far as my role in the church, who owns it? Christ does. So who should serve? Seems like everybody. And who should run each ministry? So, you know, so basically we hire a pastor that's 24 years old because he's got to do everything. By the time he's 40, he's going to fall over. Right? Because we killed him. Right? Because he has to do everything. Well, that's actually, there's a role for the pastor. In fact, are there specific jobs for the pastor, the deacon, and the members? The Bible does seem to indicate there are some. All right, in Acts chapter 6, it seems like the institution of deacons was initiated, and it seems like what the pastors were saying is, you know what, some of this other service is taking us so much time, and really somebody has to come and preach and teach, right? Somebody has to come and preach and teach. So would you think that it's pretty good that he has time to study? All right, I'm not. Do you guys answer or no in Sunday school? No? You don't? Oh, come on. Come on. You can do it. Like, yeah. Yes. All right. So wouldn't it be good for the pastor to study once in a while? I guess. All right. So, all right. Otherwise, he's going to get up here like, all right, let's turn to the book of Mark. Mark this morning. Haven't had a lot of time. You're like, why am I coming then? Why am I coming to church if you haven't had a lot of time? So you need to, they need to have time to study, the study of the word, to pray for the membership. So yes, are there specific jobs for the pastors, deacon members? There seems to be some. All right, but then we look at those, we understand them. But really, then the last question is, so how do I know how I fit in the church? And look at it. Study it. All right, so those are questions to consider. All right, so questions to consider. I'm trying. Do I go this way, this way, this way, this way? All right, there we go. What church member? So the first question that we're going to ask is, what church membership is not? So when I come to a church, and I'm like, all right, so I'm going to figure out church membership. So what, remember, I'm understanding my role in the church. The first thing I need to understand is a little bit about church membership. So what church membership is not? So it is not, just so you know, church members, there's nowhere in Scripture that church membership is a social club. Now, what is it? Well, you know what? I come to church, and I understand. You should come to church and maybe enjoy one or two people at church. I think it's okay. All right? Now, I don't have to enjoy all of you. All right? But maybe one or two of you. All right? But we should come to church and get along. The Bible, and in fact, in the book of Acts, it talks about unity. All right? It is good that brethren dwell in unity. So we shouldn't come to church and all hate each other. Right? But it's not a social club. And by a social club, I'm not just coming here Do you know, like, for decades, there's certain groups or certain religions that the only reason you're basically part of that religion, and in fact, this has happened with states. Like, there are certain states out west that you go to, and basically you become a part of this religious group. The only reason you're doing it is if you run a business, you ain't going to get any business unless you're part of that group. All right, so you're like, all right, that's the social club, so I'm like, hey, yeah, I got my card, I'm wearing it. All right, here it is, I'm a card-carrying member of such and such. You're like, ooh. All right, so I come to church, and at church, I'm like handing out my business cards. I'm doing, it's not a social club. All right, then church membership was not invented by man. Did you know that? All right, so where do we find that? Anybody know? Matthew 16. So let's go to Matthew 16. And look what Christ says. Matthew 16. Look at, this is the, in the New Testament, this is the first mention of church. So look at verse 17. Oh, well, let's go back. This is when in Caesarea Philippi, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, this is verse 13. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, some say John the Baptist, Elias, that means Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But then Jesus says, but whom say ye that I am? Simon says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look what Jesus says. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, who? I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying that church is not a man-invented institution. Who started it? Christ. It's God's idea. So since it's God's idea, church membership does matter, and being a part of Christ's church is what I want to be a part of. Right? I want to be a part of a place that is Christ's church. They understand the purpose of the church. They understand that church membership is more than just a social club. We didn't just come up with this. This was God's idea. All right. Now, remember this. Whenever God does something, who tries to have a counterfeit? The devil. Satan always has a counterfeit. All right. Does he have a counterfeit salvation? Oh, yeah. That's why the Bible in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, not by works of righteousness. So have you ever talked to somebody that says, oh, I got it. In fact, yesterday we were knocking on doors and I felt so bad because I could tell they didn't want to talk. Right? And basically they shut us down, but they said, oh, I'm good. I'm part of a church. They think that church membership, it does not get you saved. They thought church membership got them saved. That's not. See, the devil always has a counterfeit. Now, does it mean that church membership isn't important? That's not what we said. The Bible, you follow the Bible. So the Bible helps us understand things. So Christ started the church. He built the church. He says, it's my church. He's the head of it. So I need to understand why being a part of it and how to become a part of it. So what is church membership? It's not a social club. It's not invented by man. It does not get you saved. Well, why am I coming to church then? Well, because according to Christ, it's his and you should be a part of it. Now, do I have Bible to back that up? They're like, oh, it's irritating. You got Bible to back up what you say. Yeah, I do. All right, so Hebrews chapter 10 says this. So the book of Hebrews is talking to, all right, this will make you feel smart. The book of Hebrews is written to a bunch of Hebrews. Oh, you guys are brilliant. Brilliant. If you said it louder, you would feel more brilliant, right? Right. So Hebrews is written to a bunch of Hebrew people, Jewish people. And so in the Hebrew, the book of Hebrews is interesting because, and some people, you know, not just, all right, the Hebrews, it's a bunch of Jewish people. And for hundreds of years, passed down from generation to generation, what have they followed? The law. And now Christ came and basically blew all that up. So the book of Hebrews, I believe, is written to the Hebrew people trying to help them, because if for generations you followed this system and now one person called Christ comes and says, no, don't have to do it. I mean, I might be a little hesitant. We're like, are you sure about this? I mean, so he's showing them, hey, it's different. So through the book of Hebrews, there's a couple of phrases. Christ is better. That's a phrase, better, is found. So he's showing Jesus is better, but then he's also showing that there's a church now. So you come as a church. And a church is a local assembly of believers. All right, so look at verse, let's look at verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. Look at verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So where do I do this? Where do I hold fast? Where can I draw near to God? And where can I be provoked? You know, that idea of provoking is, the idea is that ox goad. Have you ever heard of the ox goad? That's an old, like a farmer's thing, that they'd have animals, and basically they'd have a piece of wood with nails on it, and they smack it on the hide of that animal to goad them. All right, so now you understand that church member that irritates you. You're supposed to. All right, look at the Bible tells me I'm supposed to irritate my fellow church members. No, that's actually, all right, it's supposed to provoke, though, to what? To love and to good works. You know, one of the things, that's why church membership matters. At church, I know it doesn't get me saved, but I go to church and it pushes me because I see other people doing good and doing right and following the Great Commission, and it pushes me. See, that's the idea. God, in his wisdom, created a church for you and me to be a part of. And my role is to come as often as, look at verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So when this was written, and there's debate on when the book of Hebrews was written, most would say probably between 58, I think, and 61 AD. Okay? So at that time, and there's debate on who wrote it, I believe the Apostle Paul. All right, so here's the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the Jewish people, and he's saying, hey, so just so you know, Christ went away, and he's coming back, and as the day of Christ coming back approaches more and more, be together as a church. Not less, but more. So, if that's 60, let's just take 60 AD. That's approximately how many years ago? Like 2, 3, 10, 100, 1,000, 1,500, 1,700, 1,900. You're getting close. So I'm pretty sure it's a little closer. Now, is my math okay there? You can't answer. Yes. So, as the day approaches, I stop going to church. Yeah. You'd say, you don't know math, and you're really bad at Bible interpretation. So let me ask you. I may be bad at Bible interpretation, but I'm pretty sure I see a whole bunch of church members that have no clue what the Bible says. Because as the day approaches, they're skipping out of church. Oh, let's only do Sunday morning. Can we do Saturday instead of Sunday morning? Because I really don't like coming and getting up on Sunday morning. So we're going to do Saturday night. That sounds a little Catholic. All right. Oh, no. And in fact, we were just driving one and they did Friday night. Because you know what? Saturday and Sunday, I like all day free. As you see the day approaching, get to church more. That's what the Bible says. So guess what church member is not? A social club? It's not invented by man. It does not get you saved. And it's not a status symbol. All right. Now, I just gave a thing to Pastor Bishop. And I have a couple of them back there. You can get one maybe for a dollar. All right. Maybe for a dollar. All right. But it says the Baptist Pulpit. It's a website that we have. So he flipped it around, stuck it in here. And he's like, look it. Baptist Pulpit. See, it's a status symbol. And I understand. To be associated with me is unbelievable. The status is like, it's unbelievable. All right. But you might say, well, do you guys, when I join Lighthouse Baptist, I mean, do I get something for my wallet that I can like open up and like, Lighthouse Baptist? All right. No, it's not a status symbol. That's not why I join a church. None of those are the right reasons. So let's consider then, so what church members is not. So let's understand a little bit of the church in the New Testament. All right, the church in the New Testament. So what do we mean by the word church? All right, so let's look at it just quickly. And this is just a quick overview. So those of you that tomorrow are going to work and you're going to have some numbskull, right, and that's a very nice word for the person that is irritating you at work and says, oh, were you at church again? All right, so this will help them. You say, what did you learn? I'm going to throw some things at you. You can wow them. All right. So one, this big thing is called ecclesiology. Wow. All right, so they're like, what did you learn? Ecclesiology. When they drop, like, yeah, at our church. So that, it's okay to do the status symbol thing. All right. But anyways, so the word church is found over 100 times in the New Testament. Over 100 times. So anybody know, like, the Greek transliteration of the word church? All right. Ekklesia. Have you ever heard that? Ekkle, it's E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. Ecclesia. It means a called out assembly. So it's an assembly. So really, in the world, do we have assemblies? Yeah, we do. So in essence, that's what the word means. But in the Bible, 100 times in the New Testament, listen to this, though, because there's people that say, well, the church isn't like visible. It's not local. The local visible. So there's this thing. And guess who made it popular? The Catholics. The Catholics made this thing called the Universal Church. So I've met Christians that basically are part of a Universal Church, and I think I know why. Because they never go, all right? They never go, they don't want to be a part, and I don't even know what they do in their church. Well, it's universal, all right? So there are only 4 times that the word church does not mean a local assembly of believers. Only 4 times. So 96 out of 100, and there's more times. Doesn't that seem like the emphasis of church in the New Testament is local, visible? I mean, am I missing something? No, thank you. All right, I had one person answer. All right, really appreciate that. So here's some notable points from the New Testament church. All right, here's the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to locals, a local assembly of believers. So, for instance, this is why the local church matters. So, guess what the book of Romans was written to? The whole city of Rome? No, it was the local church in Rome. The book of Corinthians. All of you in Corinth, out there. No, it was the believers gathered in the church of what? Corinth. The church of Galatia. The church of Ephesus. The church of Philippi. the church of Colossae, the church of Thessalonica. Wait a minute. I mean, it seems like the New Testament is about the local, visible church, doesn't it? So when you come and you're like, well, I don't know that church membership really matters. I mean, we're all going to heaven. All right, you sound like the Pope now. That's what you sound like. And I'm pretty sure that you wouldn't agree with the Pope. Right? I don't even, just so you know, this is a little side, I don't even think he's alive. I think they prop him up, pull him out there. I don't even think he's alive. All right, this is just my thought there. All right? So anyways, understanding. So how does church membership function? So for this, we're going to go to a letter that was written to a church, and that is the book of Thessalonians. So turn to Thessalonians, and we're going to look at, so how does church membership function? All right, and we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians. So let's first look at the pastor. So there are a couple of offices. There's the pastor and deacons. We're going to not necessarily look at the deacons. But in 1 Thessalonians, it tells us a little bit about the pastor. So what does the pastor do? All right, in 1 Thessalonians 1, look at 5 and 6. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. What does it sound like? They came to Thessalonica, they preached, a church was established. Doesn't it sound like that? So then he gives instruction. So look at chapter 2 and verse 2 through 7. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have burdensome as the apostle, as the apostles of Christ. So this is the pastor, it's saying something. The pastor preaches in power. You see this, look at it in verse 1. For yourselves know, brethren, that our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. They came and they were bold. So guess what a pastor of a church, so we're looking at a church, how it functions, and why church membership matters, because I come into a church, and they've called a pastor, and the pastor cares about his membership, so guess what he does? He preaches in power. He doesn't come, and you'll see this, he doesn't come to flatter you. Oh, you're so sweet. Like, get away from me. I didn't come here to hear that. Like, oh, you're so nice. Like, no, stop. All right, come and preach the word of God. And he wasn't covetous. All right, and does that happen in our society today? Oh, yeah. All right, this was about 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, there was a guy, I think on Instagram or Twitter or something, and he had a whole lineup, and every week he would post the preacher's shoes. And he was featuring guys all across America, and he would research and spot in on a guy's shoes. It was crazy. There was guys that were wearing $3,000 shoes in the pulpit. It's like, whoa, what's up with that? All right, so I'm not saying that a pastor can't have something nice, but when you're wearing $3,000 shoes, I think something's off. It really is. I just, you guys looking at my shoes. I can clean them. All right? I know they're nice looking, but they're not $3,000. All right? But guess what? He doesn't come in covetousness. He's not flattering. It's all in this passage. See, a preacher, he cares. He preaches in power. What else does he do? He preaches with godly purpose. Did you notice in chapter 1 and verse 2? We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Look at chapter 3 and verse 10. night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your... He has a purpose. What? I want to build you in the Lord. You know what a good pastor does? He's here for you to grow in the Lord. So he gets up in the pulpit and he preaches the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. You may not like it, but he's not here to flatter you. He's here to teach you the word of God. And the word of God, as it goes forth, guess what it does? It convicts. So the pastor preaches with much prayer. And we already saw much of those. So, I think this was the next one, right? Is this the next one? Now it's your part. All right, so that's the pastor's care. All right, so I have the football huddle here. Because we're coming together, we're huddling together, and we say, all right, now what do I do? All right, so somebody's the quarterback, somebody's the tight end, somebody's, all right, everybody has a part if we're going to win, aren't we? All right, we see the pastor, so now it's your part. All right, there's my team, they're huddling. All right, so sermons we see. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eyes, a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example is always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands and actions, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. So, the church member's contribution. We find this also in 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 25. Look what Paul says. Brethren, what? Pray for us. This is what you should do as a church member. It's your part now. You saw the pastor and there's more. We're not here to deal with that. We're here to pound on you. All right. So what should you do? Supplication. Pray for us. So shame on you if you don't pray for your pastor weekly. But I almost say shame on you if you don't pray for him daily. And my prayer list this morning, I have numerous prayer lists, and one of them is for my pastor. I pray for him and his wife. Every one of his kids is listed out. And underneath that, I pray for wisdom. I pray for direction. I pray that God gives him power today and every day. Because he's got to make some decisions. So are you doing that? Paul said, would you pray for us? So if we're not praying, I don't think I'm being a good church member. Church members are not about social status. Like, oh, I'm just part of there. Because, man, it's fun. I got to go there. And, man, we just have a blast. All right, I think church should be fun. It's better than being boring. All right? But I'm not coming to church just to have fun. I'm coming to church to do something. Part of being a church member is supplication. So praying. So that's for the pastor. But what about each other? There's nobody that should care more when somebody is sick than church members in a church. You should be saying, I know I'm sick. I know I'm hurt. But I've got to tell my church because they care. They do. Because we should be praying for each other. So supplication. So then, 1 Thessalonians 1, look at verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing, look what he says. Your work of faith, your labor of love. What does that sound like? Service, doesn't it? Look at, that's chapter 1 and verse 3. Look at verses 6 through 8. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples. So that word example is an example. So what does an example do? You see it, don't you? A sermon I can see. So I serve. Supplication, I serve. All right, so what else do? I support 2 Thessalonians 3. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3 and look at verse 10 through 15. It says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now, them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." You know what the Bible telling me in that passage? That I should work and I should be a part of the church and I support it. I don't just support it with my words. I support it with my work and I support it with my paycheck. How is that the bell to quit? All right, 5 minute warning. All right. I was like, oh my word, we're going to be done. All right, we're finished. All right, so supplication, service, support. So I support it. So here are our final tips and takeaways then. How do you view the church then? Is it biblical or worldly in its philosophy? I didn't have a lot of time to go into the big, what's our big word? Ecclesiology. Oh, you're going to throw that tomorrow. All right, so with that, our ecclesiology, right, is it lining up worldly? So what's worldly? I would say it leans more Catholic, universal. Like everybody, all roads are the same. No, every church is not the same. Every church is not one of Christ's my churches. They are not. They may call themselves a church, and church might be fitting. What? It's an assembly. All right, but guess what? They might as well be a town hall meeting. Because that's all they're doing. They're just come together and it's politicking and it's fellowshipping, it's doing this or that, but it's not anything godly. I need to make sure that my view of the church is biblical. That's a question. How do you serve in your church? Oh, I serve. Yeah, I'm the complainer. All right, that is not one of the gifts in Romans and Corinthians, just so you know. You may have it, all right, but we want to burn it out of you, all right, because that ain't really a good gift. Complaining, or do you help in undertaking responsibilities? Oh, I don't know that. Actually, if you study the Bible, this is what I've come to in studying as far as spiritual gifts. I don't believe biblically that there is a Christian that does not have a gift. So somebody that comes, and you're always acting so meek, you're like, I just don't have a gift. All right, I know you're a loser. All right, and I would agree. And a whole bunch of people, we probably could testify that you're a loser. All right, but guess what? All of us, remember what the Corinthians says? God has placed all as he would have meet. He brought you here for a reason. It's to help in the church. So get a responsibility. Start serving. All right, so then, are you active in supporting your church financially? I should be giving. I should be giving. You know, and God will prod you in different ways to give and help in your church. Then also, I help emotionally. You know, there are some people that come to a church, oh my word, and they drain it. Not financially, emotionally. When they leave, you're like, oh, I feel so better. All right, you shouldn't be that. The emotional drain, you should be helping. Now, there are times God has seasons in your life that basically you need the church emotionally to help you. Isn't that awesome when that happens? So, are you an asset or a drain to your local church? Are you an asset or a drain? May God help us to understand the church and our role in the church. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you that we could look at this aspect of understanding our role in the church. Help it to prod us to be a good member of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Somebody hasn't become a member, help them to understand it is biblical. It's a part of Christian living in this age. Well, thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.